Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The Celtics down 15 late in the third quarter, up by 11. They can close the show here pretty soon with a minute 48 to go. Tatum, over the shoulder pass, Marcus Smart, left side three. No. Good night!
What'd they say about Marcus, man? What'd they say? Stunned!
An offensive explosion of historic proportion by the Celtics, and Steph Curry misses a layup on the other end.
Sean Grandy and Cedric Cornbread Maxwell on the Celtics Network as the Celtics take game one with a 44-16 fourth quarter. Micah Shrewsbury and I were talking about that this morning, and we were just talking about the level of beautiful basketball played by both teams in the game last night. But you know what? It didn't draw. They only got 8 million viewers last night. That's stunning. If those overnights are correct, that is stunning.
Indy 500 might have done better.
No, it did not.
I know. I know.
Yeah. But that, you know, people have been talking about a series that could get 12 to 15 million viewers a game. Now, maybe if it gets to seven games, that's a possibility. But supposedly, the overnight numbers were only about 8 million. And that's not good because you've got name draws all over the place here. The average person knows who Steph Curry is. Draymond Green is a name. Klay Thompson's a name. Jason Tatum's a name. The Boston Celtics are a name. Golden State Warriors are a name. But it evidently did not translate last night. Just didn't.
I think the NBA has an issue with I don't think there's enough teams. There's a lot of individual players, but I don't think there's enough teams. That's just my take.
Right, but see, that's it. What's interesting, these two teams are teams. And let's take Jason Tatum last night. He was 3 of 17 from the field. He had 13 assists. Wow. He had 13 assists on a night where he just could not throw the ball in the ocean. And that's what Mike and I were talking about this morning, Coach Shrewsbury and I. We were talking about, you know, the level of team basketball, the passing. I mean, a guy like Al Horford at the age of 35 hit 6 threes last night. Celtics hit 21 threes. And I don't know. I mean, the Celtics were down by 12 entering the fourth quarter and then flew right by them. At one point, it's 17 unanswered points. And I don't know. It's evidently it did not register with the fans. And I have no answer for that. You can't look at it like it's last year when it was played in July. So you can't look at time of the year because the finals are taking place at the time of the year that people are used to. You've got name brands in there. It is, I think for the NBA, it's a mystery. I mean, that's a real mystery. Well, the Steelers signed a linebacker. Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah. I can't remember the name though.
Tuzar Skipper.
What?
Skipper, who at one point played for the Steelers. Do you follow your own team?
I don't remember a Skipper.
Camp sensation a few years ago. Had 5 sacks in the preseason for the Steelers.
Well, that's why I don't know.
Wasn't drafted, but, you know, out of Toledo.
I don't start paying attention until September.
You just... I'm concerned you're not paying attention in October either.
Some people would say I'm not paying attention the entire fall. But
oh, boy. Different issue.
Well, I told Fran Fisher many years ago that I give him credit every time I use it, but and I paraphrase it slightly, but I said, you listen to one of the games that I call, and you're sitting there watching the stands, you get 2 games for the price of 1.
Oh, boy.
Fran said, Fran just laughed, and he goes, I know the feeling. Yeah.
Game 1 of NBA Finals gets atrocious TV rating. Here it is. I was trying to look it up, make sure I had the number right. I said 8 million. The finals average 8.13 million. That was right. So you don't think I do any research on this show.
Sometimes I just think you get lucky in your guess. Actually, I know better.
I'm a good guesser.
Somebody years ago, somebody said, you know, have you ever caught him? I'm like, no, he's got a photographic memory. He remembers it. And 3 years later, he'll be able to regurgitate it from verbatim from what he read. I said, I can't compete with that.
Well, Drew Brees' name came up today on the golf course. And so with Kevin, Brian, Corey and John, they were talking about Drew Brees at Beaver Stadium, you know, and one of them said, I'm not going to get who, but said, yeah, you know, and then, you know, and Purdue won. I said, no, Purdue lost. Penn State won the game 22-20. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, Drew Brees never beat Penn State. Penn State beat them out there in 99, and then 2000 they came here, and I said it was a bad week. Adam Talaferro had been hurt, paralyzed the week before at Ohio State. There was a prayer service on Friday. I said, you can't really say you're emceeing a prayer service, but I had to kind of introduce everybody on the steps of Old Main during this thing. And then, of course, they played on Saturday. I said, it's amazing. We talk about practice and how things sometimes in practice can translate. I said, Joe always had the innate ability to look over at just the moment something's not going right somewhere. And Zach Wasserman and Zach Mills were the 2 scout team quarterbacks. And Wasserman was the one throwing the ball. And it was Thursday, and they were doing 2-minute drills. The offense was doing a 2-minute drill on the offensive field, which would be as I was standing with my back to Haluba Hall to my right, and the defensive field on the left. So I'm watching the offense, and as soon as they run a play, boom, I glance over the defense, but back and forth, you know. And then I look over, and Wasserman throws the ball deep down the middle for, and I can't remember the receiver who's impersonating Vinny Sutherland. And Tekus Pettigrew comes flying in from a safety spot, reads it perfectly, jumps in the air. The ball hits him in the hands, the chest, and it falls to the ground. And, of course, who's watching just when the play happens? It's Joe. And, of course, Joe, like, that's the ball game. You got to catch the dad ball. You know, it's like everything, right? They're like, oh, boy. So now they get to the game. Penn State's winning 22-20. Purdue's got the ball at their own 10. And Breeze goes back to pass, and he throws the post down the middle to Vinnie Sutherland. And Pettigrew reads it perfectly, and it hits him right in the hands, hits him in the chest, and it falls to the ground. And Jack says, oh, I can't believe he didn't hang on to it. I said, nah, I can't. He says, why is that? I said, he did the exact same thing on Thursday. So it was stunning. It was the exact play and the exact result. Stunning. Now, why can I remember that? And they all said the same thing you said, my ability to remember something. And I think when it comes to something like that, number one, there's heredity involved. My grandmother Jones had a phenomenal memory. 96, could remember everything chapter and verse when she was 96. And so heredity means a lot. But I think also, too, in your broadcasting games, you're actively involved mentally in the game. There's nothing, you know, which I've got to focus on the game, so I probably can remember more about specific plays because of that. There's nothing distracting me. You know, it's nobody doing the wave around me or whatever. I'm doing the game. So it probably helps, you know, the fact that you're actively involved doing it probably allows you to remember better.
No, I can't remember who the wide receiver was 3 years ago, so.
It's the Sanders kid who's now at Rutgers.
Brandon, no, I'm Sanders. Talking about a Shikalimi.
Oh.
Dave will be like, oh, you remember him, and he'll, like, rattle it off. I'm like, that's why you're here, partner.
So I'm talking to Adam Fisher this morning, and I'm asking about the non-conference schedule. So I brought up, I said, who do we have in this non-conference schedule? And he said, you know, I said, obviously we've got the Charleston tournament. He goes, yeah. Then we got an ACC challenge game. He says, yeah. I said, we're going to do the Gavitt games. That's the Big East. I said, yeah, I anticipated that. I said, what about, and I mentioned the team's name. And he says, no, they dropped yesterday. I said, what? He says, it dropped yesterday. I said, well, we still have this game with, and he said, no, that's the other game that we have to replace that got dropped to. I said, then what are you doing here at the golf course? So why aren't you on the phone getting opponents? So we're two opponents shy right now. Great. He looked at me, he says, I can't believe those are the first two opponents you mentioned. He says, because those are the two that dropped out in the last couple of days. I'm like, great. Hey, great, great, great. Oh, well. They told me what the other ones were. So we'll get it done. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the game in terms of preparing. And you do have to stay ahead of the game when preparing. You really do. Because there's so much on a transfer deal all the time. I'll give you one. Purdue picked up a wide receiver in the transfer portal today. Kid from Iowa, Charlie Jones, is transferring over. All right, good kick returner. They have to replace Wright, who's academically ineligible, and they got Charlie Jones, who's a guy that had played FCS football. No, he didn't play at FCS. My apologies. Charlie Jones, who had played at Buffalo, transferred to Iowa. Good kick returner, decent wide receiver, transferred to Purdue. I mean, you've got to stay on top of this. In my job, I got to stay on top of this all the time. Who's in, who's out. So, like that one, I'm going to have to make sure I have. All right. I can eliminate in basketball Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston from Michigan. They're staying in the NBA draft. You know, Malachi Branham, E.J. Liddell, draft. Kofi Coburn, draft. Max Christie, draft. But the amount of movement with the transfer portal, I've got to keep almost a running tab of what I'm doing in my preparation in the off season because there's so much of it. Like I said, Purdue got a wide receiver today. Now, it's easy because, I mean, let's not pretend Charlie Jones isn't on my Iowa chart. He is. But that's the way it is. I mean, Bucknell doesn't get guys transferring in. I mean, I know Brandon Sanders transferred to Rutgers. I know that. But has anybody else really transferred out of Bucknell besides Sanders?
Well, there have been a couple, but they were fifth years, and it's mainly because they didn't have their program, a grad program there, or an opportunity for them to go to school for a fifth year.
Right. Okay.
So that's different. You know, to me, that's a different type of transfer. But when you're talking about the transfer portal, I think they need to come up with a new name, and I think every school now almost has to hire somebody on their staff to monitor the portal.
No, you do. No, you actually have to have a couple of members of your staff that are always looking at what names are in. And again, Jones must have put his name in before May 1st. You know, I mean, you could put your name in before May 1st and not pick a team until now, as long as you put your, you know, that way you can play right away. And Jones should be able to play right away. But that was, even today. So at some point this weekend, I'm going to have to, again, you're trying to stay ahead of it. Some point this weekend, I'll just take a minute or two and shift him from Iowa over to Purdue. Update a couple of stats. Go from there. That's the way it is in the portal, just in my job. Imagine being a coach. Not easy. That's why you do a job like this. It's pretty easy. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When car repairs get difficult,
well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
No, and you have no idea who the guy is. And this is like your team.
Yeah, but did he make the final roster?
I mean,
no.
This is sad.
No, he did.
It's sad. It's sad.
You know how many preseason games I've watched in the last 2 years? I've listened to a few of them. I've listened to a few of them.
On video games or on, like, actual games?
Oh, no, I have Madden.
Hey, do you watch more video game than real game?
No.
Oh.
No. Well, all right. Are you going by hours or by actual game? Because I just got MLB 2020, MLB 22, and it's, or MLB The Show 22, and it's really good. So I've been playing myself through the minors, and right now I'm with the Iron Pigs. I'm playing third base like I did in Little League. My character plays third base a lot better. He hits a lot better than I do, but, you know. You'll appreciate this. A couple of years ago, I have it. And
I'm trying to.
No, you will. This one you'll love. A couple of years ago, I had one of the older versions of MLB The Show, and I put Daniel's name in. So there's Daniel. The boys in there build him up, get him through the minors. Daniel walks in and he goes, "Are you playing your dream, Dad? That I was actually a really good baseball player?"
Oh, God.
I said, "Is there any answer that isn't going to sound bad in this?"
You're pretty much cornered at that point.
Yep. There's no answer I could do. He goes, "You don't have to answer, Dad. I know. It's okay. I love baseball, but baseball didn't love me."
Is there video IndyCar?
Not yet, but there will be next year.
Whoa. Just when I thought there was no reason to live.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket.
And a full line of seltzers.
Very nice. Seltzers are outstanding. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Had a great talk with Tom Mertz last night. So, several people I talked to last night brought up your restraining orders, but that's okay. All right, so let's
they're still vague,
but active. let's bring in the king.
Hey, brother. Hi, Kev.
How's it going?
How's life?
I have one question. I got one question for you.
Sure.
Did you give it back to Steve as much as he gave it to you growing up as far as going back and forth? Because I'll tell you what, it's hard to one-up this guy. I've been trying for about 15 years, and it hasn't worked yet.
He's a public figure. Okay. So I can't say some of the things that took place.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's a family program. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I did, a long time ago, he had an anniversary on some, I don't know what radio station it was, and they called me up and asked for one embarrassing moment.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll leave that alone. So. Oh, Steve is a good guy. You know,
I don't know. I leave him open doors left and right, and it's one of those things that as soon as you say it, you're like, I left the door open.
But you know what? The time he fell in the dog crap trying to get catch a fly ball at the Ouellette's house.
You know what day that was?
No.
That was the day that, like it was my fault I fell in it. I did.
Well, you dove for the ball. I mean.
That's why.
That's called sacrificing your body.
Absolutely. Then he had to go home to my mother. Great.
But that was the day that the Israelis were taken hostage in Munich.
Oh my God! How do you remember that stuff?
We were just talking about that the last half hour.
It's the day of Munich, Germany.
Yeah, he remembers stuff. It's unbelievable.
All I remember from that day is you falling into dog crap.
Wait. I gotta ask. Did you make the catch?
Make the catch?
See, that's what matters. It's okay that you fell into it, but if you didn't make the catch,
so hard it didn't matter.
If you didn't make the catch, that's worse.
And everybody was, and I get up and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and see the on our street between the Olettes and the Thomases, it was an extra wide lot. And that's why we played football there. That's why there was a basketball coach court the Thomases had. It's a dirt basketball court. So that's why we'd go down there. You know, and then the Olettes bought a dog. And that didn't help.
A little chihuahua. And they crap all over the place anyway.
Yeah. So.
Well, then there was the time we were golfing. And we were at, what's the one at Enfield?
Grassmere.
Yeah, and I don't know what hole we're on, but the guy yells four. Steve caught it square in the jewels. I laugh it so freaking hard.
See,
are you all right?
I got nothing to say when it comes to golf because unfortunately, every one of my most embarrassing moments, I think Steve was there for.
Well, I actually told your story this morning.
We were
on the sixth hole on the blue course. This is the Coaches versus Cancer tournament. It took place this morning, Kev.
Right.
Wow.
And the sixth hole is the straight drive hole. And I said, I played golf with this guy. I said, who's got a terrible slice. We're to the point where he turns his body to try and compensate for the slice.
I used to do that.
Yeah. Right? And these guys are all laughing. I said, and we're on this hole, and he takes the ball out, and it goes over the other fairway. I said, really high.
Over the trees.
Right? Over the trees. Whoa. I said, takes a big right turn, comes back over the trees again, hits down 12 inches from the twine.
It was like flying an airplane and landing a remote control airplane.
I looked at everybody and I said, are we allowed to call that the straightest drive?
I looked it up. There's nothing in the rule book that said it had to actually be straight from the tee.
Right. It said we called it closest to the line.
Closest to the line is what it was called. That's right.
Because straightest drive was not that.
and the worst part is, I don't know this. Steve has to leave early to get back to do a game. He's driving by, and he sees that they picked it up, and somebody was actually closer. He didn't have the heart to tell me.
No,
I
did not.
No way.
I'm driving by, and I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. He lost? I was like, that stinks.
Nothing beats the railing at 5, though.
I told that story this morning, too.
Yeah, I figured that. That's one of your favorites. Kevin, there's this railing on the left-hand side of the tee.
We are on, let's see, it is the...
Is it 5?
3, 4, 5. Fifth hole uphill. And there's a bridge that goes from 4 over to 5 over the creek. Okay.
Now understand, I'm playing my slice, okay?
Right, so the bridge is to the left. He hits a line drive that he hit. Now, this is hard to do. It's a railing. I'm talking about it's a metal railing. It's not like a big, like, you know, like he's got a big side on it. He hits the railing square. Drew Kelly and I cover our lower extremity. That's right. Mark Mahoney covers his face. All right. They were like, oh, my God. So the next year we go back, Kev.
Got worse.
And he hits it again. Now the odds of hitting it once.
It's the ping heard round the club.
The odds of hitting it once, I'm gonna say, would be 1 in 5 million.
You can never do it if you tried.
Right, because the railings aren't that big on it.
No.
So it's like 1 in 5 million. Doing it twice is 1 in a trillion.
And unfortunately, I didn't play the lottery that night. I should have.
And that's the whole. You weren't playing with me. That's the hole where I came the closest ever to a hole in one.
Yeah.
I hit the ball uphill, and it landed. I hit an 8-iron up the hill. And I'm like, I hit that pretty well. And I thought, all right, I'm probably about 10 feet away from the hole. I was 4 inches.
Wow. Right?
And
I don't think I've ever landed on the green.
Huh. And there's that group selling raffle tickets up on 6.
Yep.
And they said the ball rolled over the edge of the cup. Oh man, because I'll never get one.
Par 5.
I wish. I've eagled par fives.
Was I?
You
playing?
Have? Holy
yes.
crap!
Was
what
I?
What are you shooting now for 18?
My lowest ever is 78.
Really?
I've broken 84. I've broken 84 times.
That's a really good 9 for me.
But here's your problem. Do you know what his problem is, Kev?
I don't play enough.
Okay, exactly. Because you know what? Every time we play, we'll get to the back 9 and he'll start hitting the ball.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And if he played 15 to 20 times a year, Kevin Hurd would be a really good player.
Were we playing the time, and it was on 5. 5 is my nemesis. That hole hates me. I did make the green last year, and actually we took that putt and birdied it. But that's the first time in about 20 years that I've been on that green. But were you playing along with me when I actually hit the ball and ended up popping over my head and landed back behind us?
Yes.
Thought so. See? I told you, Kev, he's been there for everyone.
I think I referred to it as the infield fly rule.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Immediately after it landed behind him and the laughing stopped, he goes, batter's out. Infield fly, batter's out.
But again, when he gets going, he starts pounding the ball, right? But he has to tell him about the ridiculous club.
All right.
Tell him about your ridiculous club.
I have a chipper. All right. It's called a chutter. You swing it like a putter, but it hits like a chipper. It's called a chutter. And most days, although there've been a couple of days where it's let me down, most days it's been my Billy Baru.
Well,
what's a Billy Baru?
From
Caddyshack.
Oh, Billy.
Okay.
Okay. So I, of course, in turn, I thought, well, okay. I've talked to friends about it. So I talked to Jack about it.
Jack loves the chutter.
Right. Mike Wagner, a couple of other guys, Ronnie Moeller. Okay. Nobody I've talked to, not one person, has ever heard of it. That's not a joke. They've never heard of it.
He's right.
So we were playing, 11?
I think so, yeah.
And look, you're a bad teammate sometimes.
Okay. We don't take my shots very often, okay?
Right. But that's what, he gets mad at us when we don't take his shots.
I finally hit a good shot, and somebody hits one better.
And I hit one that was, it didn't make the green, but it was a foot off.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Okay. So you're mad. And he goes, chutter time, right? He comes up and he belts it to the left of the hole. Right. And I'm talking like, I don't know, you missed by, I don't know,
it
10
was,
feet.
It was not pretty. Right. It's not the best chutter shot.
And see, what happens, he keeps statistics on his chutter shots during the course of the round. So we have to hear, I'm 3 for 4. I'm 3
right. for 4.
Every time he used it, that's it. Right. And, of course, what really made him mad is I stepped up and I chipped it in the hole.
Yes. With a 7-iron or something ridiculous like most people would do. You know, it's not right.
And he goes, anybody can do that.
That's
not
right.
Everybody can hit a, and he says, not everybody can hit a chutter.
Every time we're off the edge, I'm like, yes,
Chudder time.
Yeah, he does. He does what I call his chudder dance.
Chudder time.
The key is you guys have a good time.
See, that's
we never
exactly,
haven't.
See,
yes,
we laugh our brains out. And the four guys I was with today, we laughed our brains out today about everything.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's, you know,
it's no fun once you start taking it too serious. You know, it's just got to keep it fun.
Now, do you want to play well? You want to play well. You know. And if you hit enough shots, like, for example, I'm talking about, like Kevin, like, especially when he gets warmed up, we'll take some of his drives because he can belt it, right? I just want everybody to, like, use everybody's shots. That way we're all having a good time and everybody feels like they're a part of it. That's what makes it fun to me.
Cool.
What's really frustrating is when you play that slice and all of a sudden you find it straight. It's like, all right, I'll see you in a week. I got to go here three holes over.
He's done that where I'm playing my slice and he hits the most perfect drive, which also means that people are in danger on other holes. It's like, it did slice. I'm like, oh, geez. All right, so what's happened now in our group? We now bring a liability lawyer. All right, let's take a break. Well, headlines in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Headlines. Always fun. And now we've got the suit mixed in.
Yeah, I missed mine IndyCar weekend, by the way. Although there were some fast times. Almost broke a track
record. Oh, man, that was one of the greatest finishes I've ever seen in any sport. That was so exciting. Did you guys see it?
Oh, I did not miss a lap.
I saw the last two laps.
And the way that guy drove at the end, the zigzagging down the... Oh, my God.
I don't know how he kept it on the track, I'll tell you what.
That was like, man, that was so exciting.
I admit I was going to watch the race. I was going to... I like to watch the race. But then a friend of mine, and both of you guys know Dave Baker.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. In fact, Dave drove all the way up from Mom's funeral, if you recall.
Yep.
And Dave called me, and he said, hey, do you want to go play golf? And I have a 10:30 tee time. Now, you know, Dave is, I love Dave. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go play golf. But that's why I missed a lot of the race, because it was the last second.
Oh,
thing,
okay.
I wanted to get together with a guy that I think the world of. So,
all you needed to do was see the end. The end was incredible.
And I did.
That was. You felt so bad for the guy because he was going to win, and then Jimmy Johnson hit the wall, and now it went to what do they call it?
Well, they actually
red flag.
Yeah. Which they don't normally do.
They had to restart. So now his lead is gone.
Did you tell him the text I sent you?
The car is going to win.
So. Did you tell him the text I sent you?
I did not. No.
What?
I said, I put my money in DraftKings on the tow truck.
I tell you what, that's a friggin' issue. This gambling stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, how many pitches will a pitcher throw in the first inning?
It's only an issue when I'm not winning.
Yeah, who's going to start throwing games? I'll tell you, Calipari was throwing games. There's going to be big trouble with this. Big trouble. And I don't know. They're ruining college sports completely. I wasn't on the week that, the Alabama.
Yeah, Jimbo and Nick.
Oh, yeah, he's having a meltdown. I was like, come on, man. You get the best of half your team turns pro every year, you know. Stop complaining. You're part of the whole problem. And I don't blame him for being mad, but my goodness, you know, stop pointing fingers at other programs because this is college football today. You know, they offer me more money. It's like, okay, cool. So...
So do we have any
problem UConn's having? That's for sure.
No. So do we have any headlines?
Well, I have one. The Phillies come out this weekend, win 2 of 3, lose the game on Sunday because that's the one I'm going to see. And people are going to start to get excited about Phillies baseball again.
There you go.
Except me, because I'll be there Sunday when they don't win.
I would love to go to a Phillies game.
Oh, it's that's one. A beautiful park. Awesome park.
What good players does Pittsburgh have will they give to the Yankees so they can get better?
Yeah.
When I heard that Nestor Cortez came from the Pittsburgh, I'm like, what are they thinking? Why would they let him go?
Because he had the potential to be good and would demand more money? I don't know.
I was stunned. Did you hear what Jim Cott said?
I did, yeah. He was trying to be cute.
Yeah,
right?
And you know what? Enough of this.
And he botched it up.
And then people down every time when they say something. You know, he didn't mean it the way
people... Of course
not.
It was not...
He meant it like, this guy's pitches are sick, you know? This guy's really good. I was stunned that the Yankees got him from the Pirates. I'm like, my God, you got good players. Why don't you keep them? You know? So, how's that Red Sox thing going for you?
Quite the team to watch. They have 8 saves and 12 blown saves. I believe that I have encapsulated the entire season for you.
Oh, the Red Sox biggest thrill is the Celtics because no one's paying attention.
Right.
To them.
Yeah. It's taking all the heat off them because the Celtics are in the finals and they aren't paying attention to the Red Sox.
No, if you said they came off like 3 or 4 good series. They're starting to turn it around a little bit, then right away the reporters and everyone, and we get to play Baltimore, the Reds, and Oakland, and then we'll be way above 500 after
They've done
that.
Nothing.
They go and they poop the bed, you know.
They've
they
done
lose
nothing.
Series to Baltimore. They split with Cincinnati. You can't in the American, especially the American League East. You have to win the games that you're supposed to win.
Yes.
You go 500 against Toronto, 500 against Tampa, 500 against the Yankees.
Yeah.
And
you
can be 20 games over 500 if they win the games you're supposed to win. When you lose the games you're supposed to win, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. All right, guys, this was fun. Have a
Very
good weekend,
fun.
Guys.
I'm in a corner.
Have a great
tournament.
Weekend.